Welcome to the Athletic MBA Show,
Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We've got Jade Hoy producing. We've got Trevon Edwards. We've got Dave DeFore. We've got Wozni Lambre. We've got Fun Police Lieutenant Jake King in the house. And we have a fun show today. LaMelo Ball passing. Is it a bad thing for the NBA? Rudy Gobert gets a monster extension. Is that a bad thing for the Jazz? And we got some reactions to the GM survey from NBA.com. And so, Jay, we'll start with you since you're on duty. You are anti-LaMelo Ball making a ridiculous pass in a preseason game, correct?
I'm taking some heat for this. I've got to explain myself here. I am all about cool passes. I am the cool pass god.
Mm-hmm. Are you?
Yes. I am the biggest Facundo Capazzi fan in the world. I am the biggest Milos Teodosic fan in the world.
Oh, I'm Magic
Johnson,
here.
Magic so Johnson highlights. Yeah, there is nothing better. I just hate social media accounts, man. I hate everyone gassing things too much and like capitalizing words and acting like
what's the proper caption for that pass thing? Because you had an issue with him with it saying he makes it look easy. Which, by the way, he made that pass look super fucking easy.
It was a bounce pass in transition.
Oh, is that? Oh, that's all it was. You'd like to see the caption? LaMelo Ball bounce pass in transition.
No, that pass was sick. Probably, I'm an elite passer.
Probably. I mean, he thinks he can knock out Floyd Mayweather. So it's
I was about to say, this is right after the Mayweather fight.
People just gas things too much. And it was a great pass. And any caption it was just fun. Highlighting the pass could have been awesome. And like John Schumann put it out there. I think he just said, oh, brother. And that was cool. Those tweets were awesome. But I don't know why social media accounts annoy me so much. But LaMelo's going to be fun. I'm gonna try to have fun with LaMelo, even though the social media accounts are gonna piss me off.
Why not just appreciate the highlight?
Man, you should have seen my Twitter mentions today. Just people with LaMelo.
Yo, I almost lit you up. Then I decided to save it for the pod.
I'm a hater. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. No, I didn't know you were an Orlando Magic fan. That's the weird thing. Like,
did you feel the same way about Caruso?
Oh, absolutely. That's okay. Way all overhyped. Right. Like, just tone
listen,
it down,
at least
people.
At least the highlight hate is consistent. I'm not mad about that. I just wanted to make sure.
Oh, yeah. No, the highlight hate for all the people, not that don't deserve it, but just when it's like gets out of hand is when I don't like it. And Caruso is probably as out of hand as it gets.
Speaking of hatred, Rudy Gobert gets a $205 million contract extension, biggest for a big man in NBA history. 5 years, $205 million. And I saw a weird reaction to it. Like, there are some people who are all in on Rudy Gobert. There are some people that think he's not good at all, which is crazy to me. I'm definitely in the middle where, you know, I don't believe in the screen assist as an important stat. I didn't live in Utah that long to believe in the screen assist. So to me, that's a meaningless stat for the most part. And so when you take away the screen assist, like, yeah, there's some real holes for him offensively, even with as involved as he is. But defensively, that dude turns you into he'll turn a bad defense into a good defense and a good defense into an elite defense, right? And so he gets monster money because that's just what it takes to keep stars at this point. And he is an all-NBA, all-star defensive player of the year guy. And so, Dave, I want to start with you. Like, Rudy Gobert, would you pay him? Let me ask it this way. If you're any team, mm-hmm. would you pay him $40 million a year? And if you're the Jazz, would you pay him $40 million a year? Because I think it's a different answer.
That's a good question. That's a good way to ask. Because it would depend on the team, right? Like, if I was Boston, would I do it? Yeah, because that probably puts you in the finals. But if I was the Knicks, no. It just doesn't make any sense. If you're Utah, yeah, you got to pay it to keep him because you're not signing free agents. That money doesn't, like, it's not worth the same amount. So you got to keep Rudy. Last year, they were a top five defense when he was on the court, and they were bottom five when he sat. That's enough for me. And he's not a slouch on the offensive end. I know, like, I've made fun of the screen assist probably as much as you have, but he does actually free up stuff for them for sure. Offensively. No,
he's got gravity.
And it's more than just putbacks.
He's got gravity. Yeah, for sure. But yeah. I have an issue with a guy that I flat out cannot give the ball to and feel good about it unless it's a dunking situation, right? Yeah.
Right. And I completely get that and I can understand it. But if you're Utah, you just got to pay to make sure you've got that guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you can't absolutely lose him.
I feel like there are also two different Rudy Goberts. There's regular season Rudy Gobert, which I'm all in on. And there's playoff Rudy Gobert, which has been okay, but not regular season Rudy Gobert good. You can scheme for him a little bit easier. And I think for this contract to not, I don't think it's ever going to look bad unless he has a horrific injury. But for it to look more justified, he's got to be better in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I can see how Utah might justify this. Like, look, we took the eventual conference finalist to seven games, and Rudy was, you know, he was good enough. I wouldn't say he had a bad series. He wasn't, like, dominant or anything. And so, you know, he gives you a great defense by just showing up. I get all of that. But again, maybe I'm the world's biggest Miles Turner fan, but I'm like, why not try to get a guy who's a good defender, not all world like Rudy, and somebody like Miles Turner, who I just happen to think is a much better offensive player, right? And he makes half as much as Rudy does now. I don't know how you pay somebody like Zach said, who he's just not a good offensive player. I don't think he makes your offense. He's not like Tony Allen, right? Where he's a complete nothing on your offense, but he's not good.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you're paying a premium when, to me, I'd rather try to figure out how to get a good defensive center who's not going to be as good as great as Rudy Gobert is and figure the rest out. I'm not on board for this. And this is one of those things where it's like, well, small markets got to overpay, blah, blah, blah. They can't replace him, yada, yada, yada. Like, would they just not be better served not having $40 million of Rudy Gobert?
Well, I don't know.
Definitely not Rudy Gobert.
I know that's your guy, though. I do wonder if, like, I don't think there's a way to replace him, right? So I think in that case, like I'm fine with the contract. It's more than I would pay him. I'd pay him more in that 30 range. But, at that point, they're going to be over the cap. It's going to be, you know, 65 to 70 million between him and Donovan Mitchell moving forward when they, you know, hammer that out and they've got to fill in. Like, I think it makes all the other moves around them obviously that much more important. But Trey, like, I'm curious, because I know there are some people around the NBA that are like, yes, Rudy is that guy. Like, he is that defensive player. He's going to change things. And there are surprisingly some people who like players who do not respect Rudy Gobert. And I wonder if that's just the offense thing.
All right. So I'm about to go full Jay King on this one.
Oh, yes. Uh-oh.
Did Rudy throw a two-handed chest pass that you're a fan of or no, what? Or is it the opposite?
It's just been out, first of all. I like the take that this is a move for Utah to keep him there. And probably if you had to pay him $200, it would only be the Jazz, no other team. First of all, you just killed your ability to build. It's over. You're dying with Gobert at this point. Waste of money. He can't guard elite guys. Can't guard AD. Can't guard KD. Can't guard Kawhi. Can't guard LeBron. You know what I'm saying? Not even a stopper like that.
Hold on.
Because the best players don't play this position, first of all. He's basically Clint Capella with a raise.
I thought he did decent against the Joker.
He was really good at parts of the
game. But decent ain't enough. Yes. But listen, decent ain't enough, Waz, when you're trying to win. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've been getting to that whole comfy spot of first round, second round for years now. You know what I'm saying? And like, now that you paid this guy $200 million, first of all, I like individual accomplishments. We're not going to take that away from you. Good player. But for $200, I mean, not $200, $200 million, $40 million a year for defense, that's not going to win me a chip. I'm not dying on that hill at all.
But hold on. And I want to say something in defense of the Jazz. I don't want to be somebody who thumbs their nose at this team, right? Like, this is a really good team. And as long as they have the core of the guys they're paying right now, they're going to be a really good team with probably second round upside. Which, is that the worst thing you could be in the world? I don't think so. Like,
No, they're successful.
I'm not saying that they're not being good, NBA. But
No, I'm not saying that you're saying that. I think you're saying, like, yo, your high end up with this team is kind of low. If you're giving Rudy
Jazz fans deserve better. That's all I'm saying.
Here's what I'll say about that, though. There's something to be said for keep being good and keep giving yourself chances in the playoffs and then see what opportunities come down the road. Look at what the Raptors did. Like, before they moved DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard, before Kawhi, like, magically became available, people probably looked at that situation and thought, there's a ceiling there. They're never going to get out of the Eastern Conference. They're never going to get to the NBA Finals. They're never going to win anything. Then a situation popped up, and they were in position because they'd kept a good core together. They were in position to make another move and go after the title. Is Rudy Gobert the right player? Can he and Donovan Mitchell win a title as the two best players? I doubt it, but I also think there is something to be said for, like, keeping good players together and then seeing what happens down the road. And then the other side of it, though, is, like, I do think you can replace, like, a large portion of Rudy Gobert's production with a guy who makes, like, the mid-level exception. And defensive-minded center is not as good as him because he's the best. But defensive-minded centers, you can get those on the cheap. And that's another layer to this conversation.
I'm getting Adams a bang for my buck,
but he's
man.
Good on the offensive end.
He's fine on the offensive end. He's not a zero, but, like, if you suck in on the roll, there's literally nothing else he can do, right? Now that creates gravity, and you can do some things offensively. I think this puts pressure on Donovan Mitchell to become a superstar, which I do think he's capable of. I think as of right now, it looks like their ceiling is capped below title contender, but their floor is so high. Right? Like, that's a team who I think at worst, first round, second round. Like, there's some people, like, wondering, will the Jazz make the playoffs this year? And to me, that's insane. Unless there's an injury you know is coming that we don't. But to me, that's insane. Yeah. Like this is easily a playoff team. They're probably somewhere in that 4-7 range just because the West is so jumbled, right?
That's the frustrating part right there, Zach. You're paying $200 million to be 4-4 between that, but bro.
Not everybody can win a title every year. Not everybody can be a top right. two
how,
or three
but,
seed.
But
and
how
so the
comfortable
options.
Are you supposed
hold on,
to
but
be
here
on
are
that.
Your options. So you either let your, like, the guy who has been your best player go, or, you know, trade him if you're not going to re-sign him, and then you're significantly worse the next year. And with, you know, you're Utah. You got to hope you get somebody good in the draft. And then next thing you know, you're 2 years into this Donovan Mitchell extension, and he's asking for a trade because you suck because you didn't sign Rudy Gobert. And all of these contracts,
but
you're paying.
There's also a chance that he asked for a trade because he did sign Rudy Gobert.
Exactly. I mean, so it's like that locker room about to look nasty. I'm not even going to lie to you, family.
By the way, I looked this up. So the Jazz were plus 5.6 with Rudy on the court in the playoffs last year and minus 3 when he sat. So an 8
differential. All right, but but
they only played 7 games because they got beat in the first round. So that's a pretty small sample size.
Right. And also their defensive strategy was like, hey, let's drop in pick and roll because we don't trust Rudy to be on the perimeter because we've seen it be bad before. And Jamal Murray went off for like 50 every night, right? Like, there's a lot of good.
They were better with
them
on the
court. There's more good. Yeah, but that could also be swung by like 2 games, right? Like, there's a monster game 3 performance in there from the Jazz that can completely swing that small sample size, right? I'm just guessing on what the numbers could be skewed. Like, but that's a small sample. Like, you're right. They were better in the playoffs than without him, but also there was a certain strategy that they felt the need to employ that ended up cooking them and causing the 3-1 collapse, right? Like,
hey, here's the thing. They were better with him during the regular season, way better. And they were better with him during the playoffs. That's the only point I'm trying to make here, is that they are way better with him than without him. And I think that it's harder to replace Rudy than anybody here is making it out to be. Now, I'm not saying that he's a $40 million player for every team. And certainly, you got to worry about the last couple of years of that deal in particular.
Yeah, but the first three will be
Jazz
really good.
The Jazz just don't have options.
Yeah, I'm with you right on that. I also just think, though, that now it's no longer what does the combination do? Because I don't think Rudy gets any better, right? I think, if anything, you'll see diminishing returns. And I worry about the attitude we saw after he was named an All-Star. I do, man. Like, that was a real problem for a month, because he was an All-Star, and all of a sudden he wanted the ball more to justify, because, hey, I'm an All-Star. Now, maybe that was a small outlier of a thing with him, but based on what I know, like, that actually fits more in line with his personality. And I have real concerns about a dude who will decide to pout for a couple of weeks and not play defense when he's not getting the ball enough. And by the way, you can't really trust him to get the ball that much.
Well, they don't pass to him a lot when he's open.
Catch.
Seth and I watched him in Boston, and I mean, there were like 8 wide open looks that he just didn't get the ball. But I think that is because of the pouting stuff. Like, I think that those guys really just didn't want to play with him at that point. But now he's got no complaints, right?
Well, I don't know.
He's won a Defensive Player of the Year. He's made All-Star.
I don't think that's changed, bro. I think he's still pouting. I think guys still don't want to play with him, but he's just rich now.
But don't forget that he gave America COVID-19.
Right. That's true. He
did. All right, let's segue, man. Let's segue, bro.
Speaking of feeling like a bad decision was just made, we've got some results from the NBA.com GM survey. It's one of my favorite things that NBA.com does, that anyone on basketball coverage does every single season. John Schumann does a great job with it. And so here's some of the highlights I want to get to as we try to get as far away from that Waz comment as possible. Giannis, the favorite to win MVP this year amongst the GMs. Now, just for full disclosure, they cannot vote for their own team personnel with any of this stuff, right? Giannis was picked as the favorite to win MVP. That would make him a three-time winner, 3 in a row. Hasn't been done since Bird in the 80s. And I believe only Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain have done it as well. I think he would become the 4th player to do it, and the first time in like 34-ish years or something like that. So now that the extension is behind them, now that they have none of that cloud over, the only cloud they have over them is Mike Budenholzer coaching the playoffs, right? But that's not a regular season problem. That's a postseason problem. What do you guys think of the idea of Giannis winning a 3rd straight? Do you think voter fatigue will kick in? Do you think what do you think he would have to do in order for them to, or in order for him to be the main guy?
Can he do 35, 15, and 10?
10's going
to
be tough.
I think it's going to have to be something insane.
I know some Bucks fans bristle at that, but he's not a good playmaker. He gets assists, but he's not a good playmaker. Like,
it's
Luka
season. He's out of there.
He's out of there.
He's out of there. He's gonna be in the conversation, respectively, but he's not gonna get the 3. Not a 3rd.
I don't see.
Like, I mean, historically,
you mentioned voter fatigue. We get tired as just fans in general seeing people win all the time. So it's just gonna be initial hate, and we're gonna find a new darling, and the new darling is Luka. It's pretty good, Luka,
right?
And especially if Porzingis, like, whatever happens with him. And Luka continues to play at a high level, and they're like at least in the, you know, top 4 in the West or whatever, he gonna get it for sure.
I don't think it'll be just voter fatigue either. I think it'll also be the voters realizing that for whatever Giannis does in the regular season, he's not the best player. And so that's a layer of the, like LeBron was very clearly...
You think like postseason stuff will bleed into it?
Yeah, I think people will remember that. And people, you know, whatever Giannis does, they'll think back and be like, you know what, LeBron was better in the playoffs. LeBron is very clearly a better option when it matters most. And then I think there will be other great options too for MVP. I think Luka will have a huge year. His stats will be outrageous. I think Steph Curry could have some outrageous stats. If the Warriors win enough games, he'll be in the conversation. I mean, you can never discount James Harden.
They're not.
Even though Daryl Morey won't be leading, or maybe he will be leading the MVP push. But I think there will be other options. Giannis is going to have to blow voters away to win it again.
We went over this on Nerder the other day, and one of our big things was this is going to be an odd season, condensed schedule, all of that. So I started just taking people out, whether for narrative reasons like Giannis or because like LeBron, I don't think he's going to have his foot on the gas like he did last season. So you start looking, all of a sudden the field is pretty wide open. If the Nuggets have a season like they did last year, I think Jokic's name is in there. I floated Kevin Durant as a guy that's probably going to get some buzz. I mean, he looks pretty good.
I don't think he'll get score a lot time on the court, right? Like, I think they're going to be careful with him.
We'll see, right? But I'm just, it is an odd year for this. I mean, like, if Philly is really good and Embiid can play, you know, more games than we usually get out of him, so obviously there's a stretch there, but Embiid could be in the mix. It's going to be an odd year for MVP, but I don't see any way Giannis gets a third one.
I see a way.
We already have too much saturation. Like, there's too much coverage. And I think that, like you said, the voter fatigue thing is real. I think they just want to give it to somebody new. And whether that's Luka or not, I don't know. I don't think the Mavs are going to necessarily be good enough for Luka to get the votes. They're going to be missing Porzingis for like the first month to 6 weeks. So they're not going to have a chance to bank wins.
I don't know. Well, they kind of because I think Portland's roster is way better, and he's going
to
rush with points, and he's going to be shooting from damn near half court, and they're going to win a lot of games this year.
Okay, my other.
But like, I mean, the guy last year had a historical season, like literally one of the best individual seasons. When you talk about all the all-in-one stuff, the PERs, the all of that, like he had a historic season. You know, he deserved it. If he has another historic season, and nobody comes close,
they have the best record again.
Yeah, because we know they're going to take the regular season seriously. They don't take that off, right? And so,
I mean, that's what they win is the regular season. They have to go like that series.
This may sound ridiculous, but if they go if they go like 60-12, is that crazy? Right? Like because they have depth, like they have the star power, they take it more seriously than just about everybody else. Like I think there's a pathway for it. I do think Luka's the favorite. And I think Dame's a great like dark horse candidate. And I agree on the LeBron stuff. I think I don't see him playing with the same intensity because I think, or at least for the first month or so, and that might sink him, you know? Although of course, like who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with COVID and everything? Because we're going to have a lot of postponed games and probably some canceled games as well for the lesser teams. I don't think the Knicks are getting to 72 games on the season. I just don't. I don't think the Cavs will play 72 games this season. Like that's, you know, maybe 68, 70, something like that. I think we'll have a couple of games that get knocked out. Well, I guess that everyone will play at least 70 because you got to get to that 70 number for the local TV contracts. One of my other favorite things from this, and Jay, I'm curious if you have insight into this. For player who would make the best coach. Now, I went back and did some research. I don't think Kyrie Irving's ever gotten a vote for this in this category, right? And they have this question every year. But he got one this year. And my guess here is that Danny Ainge is trolling. I think Danny Ainge voted. This is strictly a guess. I have no inside information on this. I think Danny Ainge saw the comments from Kyrie about like anyone could be a coach, right? And I think he just said, all right, I'm going to throw Kyrie's name into this.
See, I don't think GMs even do this survey. I think they just hand it off to an intern or somebody else in the front office.
Possible.
And let them do it.
We know Daryl Morey did it because he's probably always trying to vote against the people who would challenge James Harden. You know,
Daryl took his GM survey responsibility seriously. But yeah,
oh, very seriously.
Kyrie getting a vote for that is hysterical.
That's hysterical. High comedy.
And I don't want to, like, Kyrie, I don't want to make this into, like, a let's shit on Kyrie thing because I don't think it's that. I just find it interesting that this, of all years, is when he got the vote. Like, this is the one.
Well, he's going to be a coach.
Right.
This year,
well, yeah, so he is. Maybe, like, thing, right? Based on the comments. But I think someone's trolling here.
Someone did it and was like, ha ha ha, when this comes out, people are going to laugh. That was it. That's the only explanation for it, the only logical explanation for it. I think Kyrie is a magnificent basketball player. I would not want him coaching my basketball team.
And you would say he's a high IQ guy on the court anyway. And so I could see people like, yeah, but no, if he's never been voted for this, the year that he called himself a coach on the court, we know what's going on.
You know, these surveys are very enlightening. It makes you realize how quickly people are forgotten about. Draymond Green not receiving a single vote is shocking.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He would very obviously be the best coach of any active player.
Yeah, and when you see him on inside, like literally.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that one time where he was like, everything Joker just did on this place, bro.
Yes, exactly.
He's like, you fucked up here. You messed up there.
Yeah. But dope. Him kind of just, you know, disappearing all for most of last year. He basically played one real basketball game. And all of a sudden, he just doesn't exist. So, like, these surveys are a good example of how quickly you can be forgotten in the NBA.
Do we think that Chris Paul is just going to run away with this one until he actually becomes a coach? Do we think he'll even become a coach? I feel like he's too much of a control freak.
He's too rich.
Oh, he's too rich. Yeah, he's too rich, and I think he's too into control.
What's the point of doing all that work,
I don't know the coach in today's league. Can be a control freak like that. And I don't mean that in like a pejorative way. Like, I just think that that's a...
He could be a college coach. Oh, God. You know? I could see him as a college basketball coach.
The whole idea of recruiting.
But not so much an NBA.
All right. More interesting things. This probably triggered Jay. But Eric Spoelstra just ran away with all the best coaching.
Why would that trigger me?
Well, because you don't believe in the Heat. You think the Heat are
I think Spoelstra is a lottery genius, team. Man. Spoelstra is an absolute genius. He's as good as it gets. He was underrated during the LeBron years in Miami and has just been killing it ever since. He deserves it.
Is he the best coach?
And I thought he pantsed your boy Basic Brad in the playoffs last year, too.
Spoelstra made me look bad. Because he coached his team so well, they exceeded all expectations, including my own.
Jay, you made you look bad.
I
don't think that was Spoelstra.
That's fair.
I don't know that you can definitively say, like, this dude's the best coach in the NBA, right? Like, there's a lot of really great coaches, but I think he's one of the guys where if I tell you, hey, Eric Spoelstra's best coach in the NBA, I think if you're like, what? How can you possibly think that? You're insane, right? You may not agree.
He's likable though, Zach. That's to the point of what he does with talent, and he just doesn't piss anybody off. I think to that point, like, respectable. Yes, he has rings and should be. He's like kind of like that's a disrespect. I don't want to call him Eli Manning, but you know, to the point of. One of those scenarios that guys actually respect him, you know what I mean? And he got rings early on and has proved to develop talent. But like you know what I mean? To put him and Pop in the same type of thing. It's so many other coaches that are like doing damn good jobs with their organizations.
Carlisle, obviously Carlisle's up there, right? Like, I mean, there are a lot of great coaches. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Nick Nurse. Yeah,
we know you do.
An easy way to look at it is like, Spoelstra's never going to get just completely outcoached. Doesn't mean that he won't get outcoached because, like you just mentioned, there are other good coaches. But his coaching is never going to kill your team, right? Like, his floor is so high that you're always going to get this baseline level of performance from your players. But he has the ability to outcoach every single other coach in the league, just like Nick Nurse. So I think it goes back and forth. As far as who's the best guy today or whatever. But the last couple of years, I mean, you can't look at what Nurse, what Spoelstra has done, what Carlisle has done, and not think that those three are probably like some form of the top three.
For a player you would start a franchise with, Luka and Giannis both tied for the top spot. I believe Anthony Davis got third. Disrespect for NBA champion Anthony Davis, guys? Is that Waz? I'll start with you. Is that disrespectful? to just because it was like 43%, 43%, and then like 7% or something like that. You know, they just ran away. They ran away with it over Anthony Davis. And everyone was all over themselves two nights ago because he hit a step back three against the Suns in preseason. It was Jay, I know you probably liked it because he had a good stat line that night.
We know Dave disagrees with this vote. Anthony Davis, number one player in the world.
Actually, you know, I'm a little bit surprised that Giannis got as many votes as he got. Seems pretty clear to me that you should be looking at, if you were going to start a franchise today, you're looking at Luka, you're looking at Zion, you know, like someone in that age range. I think that that's probably what happened with the Anthony Davis. It's more just you had people focusing on age with Luka, and then obviously Giannis just being top of mind. And you just forget Anthony Davis occasionally.
Taking Luka like just because he's a creator. I think AD's a finisher. And to me, that limits your impact specifically on offense. And give me the dude who can score on fools, who can create opportunities for marginal guys. Just give me that dude every single time. I love what AD does on defense. And obviously, he's a really good offensive player. Yeah. But what Luka does with the ball in his hands, that to me, that's the hardest
thing to find. It's telling that Giannis has won two straight MVPs and he's 26 years old. And we're sitting here saying we'd pick Luka over him. Like, that is crazy how good Luka is.
Well, you know who I'd pick, Jay? Yeah. I'd pick the troops. That's who I'd start my franchise with.
Fair enough.
Well, I think what's interesting here, too, is because it does show the ascension of Luka. Because last year, Giannis was at 86% of the vote, right? And that's literally cut in half.
Right.
And that's probably almost all going to Luka. Anthony Davis gets 7%, and then LeBron got a vote, and Zion got a vote, to Dave's point. But that's interesting to me of, like, just whenever you see – because I think we saw a couple years ago, you know, Anthony Davis was – you know, this – I want to say, like, 2015, Anthony Davis, like, the overwhelming pick. And then the next year after Karl-Anthony Towns' rookie season, I think Carl was the top selection amongst GMs, right? Like, I think you can see there are these like wild swings based on that. And I wonder how much of that with Luka gaining all that ground is Luka's ascension. I wonder how much of that is the playoff stuff with Giannis, where like maybe there's more pause.
So I was about to say it is the playoff stuff, but not in the snarky Giannis way, but like, because like Luka played against the Clippers and was killing two of the best, most respected perimeter defenders in the game. They couldn't do anything with him, right? Like, this is the top level of the types of defenses you're going to play as a perimeter guy when it comes to Kawhi Leonard, who, of course, we know he's not at his defensive player of the year level, but he's still a freaking scary-ass defender. And Luka was doing whatever he wanted, get into his spots, and the question was literally make or miss for him. Right, I think that's sort of shading it too, like the specific matchup that he played against and the way they took the Clippers to the edge while Porzingis missed a lot of time in that series. That matters, and I think it should.
Is it interesting that Jokic didn't get a vote?
No.
Okay. No.
Never mind. No, I'm not
Have
surprised.
You seen him play that's defense?
Yeah, I think fair. This is pretty clearly like Giannis and Luka are the two top dogs. And then Zion is like a wild card. If Zion can stay healthy, he's one of the very few guys I think has a chance to crack that list at some point over the next few years.
Yeah, I'm with that.
And remember Karl-Anthony Towns?
I actually wonder, well, there are two thoughts I have. I almost wonder if he has become relatively underrated now. Right. He's still obviously horrendous defensively, so that's going to put a cap on what you think he could do. But like, it does seem like people are just like, I wouldn't want him at this point. And he's still like one of the best shooting big men we've ever seen and one of the best shooting just players in the league. Right. But also the other part of this is I don't know what to do with this. And this is about to get dark, but I don't know what to do with this. Like, I don't know if you can really criticize him this upcoming season because of the personal loss he's had. Right. Like, he loses his mother and six other family members to COVID. And then he came out and said, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but was like, yeah, being on the court is not therapeutic for me. This is not going to like get my mind off this or whatever. Like, and I don't know what you do.
How do you technically cover that, though? I mean,
I don't know, man. Like,
because it's regardless of like personal tragedy, tragedies around the league, tragedies around the world. Is it a hands off or a soft cast in it? I think it just kind of, you know, because it's again.
Well,
it's
especially
optional.
Well, Trey, especially if he's doing the same things that were the problems before. Like, I literally don't know, because I think a good example of this is Lamar Odom. Right. In that Lamar Odom went through a lot of loss in his life, like a lot of tragic loss in his life.
And still was critiqued.
Right. Like, and
I don't think it's a hands-off policy.
But it's also like we're a decade beyond that, essentially. Right. Of when Lamar was in the limelight, and we're much more cognizant and sympathetic and empathetic to mental health stuff, to, you know, dealing Absolutely. With trauma and stuff like that. And so I do wonder how much that affects it. But ultimately, I come back to, like, it's sports. Like, you're going to get criticized.
Yeah, and we live in a rent still due on the first type of society. Yes. You know what I mean?
Like, some of us don't pay it to the fifth, like, but yes, due on the first.
You know, like, people just generally don't really.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just generally. Well, so I think, you know, and if the criticisms are fair, they're not personal, and it's about his play. Right. I don't see why that should be out of bounds.
Honestly. Yeah, well, I guess, like, I don't
expect... As soon as you step on the court, bro.
Yeah, I don't expect fans to, like, give a damn. I am curious how it affects the coverage, if at all, right? Like, that's the part that I'm actually very, like, what will the critiques look like? Of, man, this guy doesn't want enough. This guy, you know, isn't focused, isn't locked in. And then that's always going to be hanging over.
I think that's unfair to the media outlets in Minnesota or nationally. Just because as soon as you go out and step on the floor, that's a choice. Like, if he said, you know what, I don't want to play this season, nobody would get on him about that. But the fact that he's... You know, maybe this helps him clear his mind when he steps foot on the court. That's helpful, but that's still, people still have to do their jobs. So if he's not playing well, you don't get a soft cast on a scenario. Cause, like, again, I remember we know plenty of situations that players before tip off, they check their phone, they get bad news, play through the game. We write a story, we cover it. And then a week come out with the whatever they were dealing with. And then we feel bad. And it's just kind of like
Isaiah Thomas, right? Isaiah went through it with his sister in the playoffs. Like,
absolutely.
I'm with you on that. Like,
Well, just the practice story from AI. Like, what really happened? You know, it became a joke, but then it was actually some real stuff that happened and was just kind of like, I do feel bad, but, like, it's still the player's choice to play. You know what I mean? And, like, I do understand and am very sympathetic with it. But it's like, if he says, you know what, this year's just been a lot, I'm going to sit out. You know, maybe it messes up with his contract, but he sits out just to kind of heal and whatever was going on, you know what I mean? Personally, no one would bash him for that and say, oh, you're stealing money or blah, blah, blah. But now with you playing games, and if he performs well, it's going to be, you know, going to be applauded. If he plays bad and someone writes something about him, oh, you're a terrible person and you understand what he's going through. So I just don't think it's fair on the media and that's covering that team to have to burden that.
Yeah, and I want to add to that too, of like, it might become therapeutic for him, right? Like, just because it wasn't first couple days back to, you know, training camp and everything, like, maybe a month in he's like, he can lock in and everything, or maybe he's already figured that out or whatever. But, like, yeah, I do wonder what you do with not just him but just players who have gone through trauma with that type of stuff, or just trauma in general. I wonder if any of that changes, but I think you guys are right. It's sports. He decides to go out there, or any player decides to go out there, it probably makes that decision for you. One more thing I want to go over from, or I guess two more things from the GM survey. The Pelicans voted as the most promising young core. Grizzlies were second. Hawks and Celtics both tied for third. Does anyone quibble with that?
Yeah, I was interested by that because it's like just the, it's backwards of the best young player vote. Like, how are you going to put the Pelicans and Zion ahead of Luka? But I mean, maybe Brandon Ingram factors into that. But, well, like,
yeah, I think Ingram, I think Lonzo, you know, they've got some decent, like, guys to develop with Alexander Walker and Jackson Hayes, and so, you know,
I guess. But, like, to me, Luka and Kristaps just kind of trump that, just because Luka has already proven that he's at that level of the top, top players, right. And that's what matters most in the NBA.
Sure. Like, you know that he's going to wind up, like, you kind of know he's going to wind up in that top tier. If everything goes well for Zion, that's where he will be too, but he's not there yet. I'm with you, Jay. I get that.
Yeah, but I think Ingram's a huge factor.
I gotta actually see Zion get back to the dude that he showed himself to be in the preseason of last year, right? Like before he went down, where he was just absolutely killing people on offense. So when the kid finally gets in shape and is like, you know, like actually trying hard on both ends of the floor for full games, then we can get back to this young core being so freaking impressive.
And then
I also think that list like totally downplays postseason production and like actual production that these young cores have had. Like Jokic and Murray, are they both considered young core? Like how are they tied with the Hawks anymore?
And
like Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum, how are they tied with Trae Young and Kevin Herter? Like I just don't understand that.
Oh come on, Kevin Herter's a bucket, baby. Red Rocket, is that what he's called?
Yeah, that was one of the categories I looked at. I was like, this is all messed up. Like this whole damn thing is messed up. But I guess it's tough to say like who's young and who's not.
I don't think Jokic and Murray count as young guys anymore for some reason, right? Like
they're vets now.
I don't think Kristaps does either. Like I think that's what would factor into it. Now you could still say, hey, I'll take Luka over any of these cores. I think that's valid, right? But that would be my thought on that.
But like Brandon Ingram is 23, Jamal Murray is 23. Like, where do we draw the line? Maybe I'm just arguing about something that really doesn't matter. But like that whole list was just weird to me.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening for sure.
Yeah. Also, should Charlotte be on there because of LaMelo?
That's the real question. He makes the game look easy.
Yo, he made the pass look easy.
Except for shooting.
No, he gets them up easily. Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
He gets them up easily. All right, last one. This was the who do you want taking a last second shot? That's always a favorite of mine. Dame won. Damian Lillard gets the most votes.
Respect.
Steph Curry second. Kevin Durant third. Luka Doncic fourth. Chris Paul fifth. Devin Booker and Jamal Murray also got votes. Not a single vote for LeBron James.
Interesting. I mean, look, it should be Steph because he's the best shooter of all time, right? Like,
we don't watch Dame put away franchises, though, bro.
Yeah, we've seen Dame do some
multiple times. We care about the real time.
To me, Dame is better at getting his shot off in a one-on-one situation, which is why I like him better than Steph. Like, I just think, you know, one-on-one, not, you know, getting somebody involved in the pick and roll or any of that stuff, which you generally see like at the last minute where teams are switching everything. I probably would rather Dame and then probably Kawhi after that. KD got to show me his Achilles still works.
Oh, see, I'm rolling with those three with KD. I'm glad you said it. Steph is the greatest shooter of all time, but when you have to put the ball on the ground and somebody in your face, I'm taking Dame, bro. Like it's not even close. We watched him do it to Houston. We watched him do it to Oklahoma City, and he's gonna do it more and more just because he just has like I don't know how he do it, but he do it, bro.
We watched him do it to the bubble Nets.
Was anybody else going surprised into that playing tournament?
Exactly.
Yeah, Chris Paul was fifth.
Chris Paul getting more votes than LeBron don't make no
and
damn
Kawhi
sense
too. Like what?
Yeah, Kawhi didn't get.
Yeah, that's kind of wild because LeBron actually.
Kawhi can get a shot off against anybody.
That clutch joke on LeBron is out. He proved it.
Yeah, no, he's done it so many times.
So many times.
We got to be over that whole thing.
But like, some people that's still trolling, bro. They probably just forget that guy. But LeBron's definitely in that conversation.
I like Chris Paul getting it over James Harden, though. That's good comedy.
Yeah, not a single vote for James. Uh-oh. he might be in Atlanta when that game
future
that
Philadelphia 76er James Harden.
You can lock that in, I think. All right, that's going to do it for the Basketbuds edition of the Athletic NBA show. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you check out the restricted area Waz on the YouTube channel for The Athletic. We had predictions this past week. This coming week, we got some fun Christmas stuff for you. So make sure you check that out, the restricted area on The Athletic's YouTube channel. Make sure you check out the rest of The Athletic NBA show throughout the week. Tampering, Hoops Adjacent, Point of Contention, and of course, Nerdish, you wrote with Dave DeFore. Make sure you check out all the team-specific pods. Make sure you check out all the great writing from The Athletic. Subscribe. If you're not subscribed, the hell's wrong with you? We got power rankings. We got style rankings. We got everything you could possibly want right there on theathletic.com. For Trey, for Waz, for Dave, for Lieutenant Jay of the Fun Police, for Jade, I'm Zach. Keep it locked. I don't know why I'm doing
Happy holidays,
to you, Jay. Happy holidays.
Long live LaMelo. Happy holidays to you all.